My name is Josh Nason, and this is Josh Nason's Punch-Out here on WrestlingObserver.com. Welcome back. Hope you had a great Christmas. The Year in Review series keeps going. The gift that keeps on giving. That's right. Three more episodes to go. We have October on today's show, and joining me for the very first time, a longtime pal, Denise Salcedo. Yes, Denise Salcedo of Instant Culture. Of course, she does the latest video clips recapping some of the various news items of the day for this very website, does watch-alongs, all that stuff. You know who Denise is. So she joins me for a talk about October. And a lot of things happen in October, which include the official announcement of the AEW-WBD TV deal renewal, TV rights deal renewal, I guess you could say. A big discussion all throughout the year. So we chat about that and all those good things around it. Of course, including WrestleDream, which was the AEW pay-per-view offering for the month of October. A lot of things happened there, including the womp womp, the end of Bryan Danielson's full-time career in AEW. We chat about that. Of course, we have to talk about WWE, which held Bad Blood, a fun, bloody cage match in WWE. Yes, it's possible. Hell in the Cell cage match between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. We talk about the month in NXT, the CW debut. That's right, NXT going broadcast for the very first time. So we chat about that. Of course, the month in TNA, NXT, Japan, the junk drawer, all types of things going on this episode. So join myself and Denise Salcedo right now. It's been a long time since I've talked to my guests this week. You know, we talked over Slack and things like that, but in face-to-face, in person, it's been a long time. I was a guest on, I guess, the game show that you did for us on Twitch. I'm trying to remember what it's called.
Did I do Face Morphomania with you?
Yes.
Is that what it was? Yes. Yeah, yep. I always come up with some weirdo names for things.
Exactly.
I love to give everything a name, Josh. But yeah, it's been a long time, man, since we've like had some face-to-face time.
It's good here. And if you're listening, of course, you know that voice, Denise Salcedo, who is a member of this website. She does the latest. She is, of course, with Instant Culture and traveling all over the place and also doing a lot of watch-alongs on her YouTube channel as well. Currently working a breakup angle with Fightful, I believe, right? You left the review, yeah. Things like that. Set to break some big Taylor Swift news any minute. One of the biggest Swifties I know. So, Denise, I'm glad to have you here for the very first time in the Year in Review series.
I'm so excited to be here, of course. You know, I love your work a whole lot. I don't know if I've ever told you that, but one of the things that the listeners may not know, though, is that Josh is responsible for making me sound smarter. I always say that, but every time I submit my articles, I'm like, this is the best I can do. And then you go and you shimmy it on up. And I'm like, yep, he made me sound so much better. That's exactly what I wanted to say when I was typing this out. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, you're very welcome. It is a thing that websites have editors for a reason and not a lot do anymore. But that's kind of part of what it is. And having been a writer myself forever, you know, sometimes you hand it over and you're like, this is good. And they're just like, they see it from a different perspective. It's just like a video editor or anything like that. And I'm sure a lot of the things you do, you may see something like, I think this can be better. You tweak this and people are like, how do you do that? And it's just part of learning and knowing and this whole thing. So it's easy. I put it, it's easy. It's a labor of love. So I'm glad you like it. And yes. Some people don't like editors for whatever reason. I don't know why.
No, I love editors. There's times where I'm like writing something down and I'm like, oh, I don't like the way it sounds. This could sound better. And then all of a sudden I look at it and I read it and I'm like, yes, it's exactly what I wanted to get across. That's what I wanted to say. No, I love editors, especially when it comes to writing, because I don't consider writing like my strongest ability. Like, yeah, great, I can put something together. But I think that there are some people that are just more highly skilled in that realm. Like my realm is video. I love video and I love to write for video, which you know, Josh, is a totally different style of writing. So I prefer video writing than I do actual print writing.
Good. Yeah. It's it's a skill. It's all a skill. And there's so many things that I like video. I have no concept how to do or anything like that. And people like you make it look so easy, so effortless. I'm sure behind the scenes, it's always, you know, just like, this isn't right or this isn't right. But to the end user, it looks great. So mutual admiration society, we'll put it that way.
Love it. Love it.
One question before we get to the month of October. How many Taylor Swift Eras shows did you attend?
So I was able to attend three.
Three. Okay.
Yeah, three, which is not too bad, but I did want to go to a lot more. But I did go to the first show, the opening show in Glendale, Arizona. I went the second night, and then I went to, I think, the second or the third show in LA. So I ended up doing three shows.
Very good. Satisfied with all of them?
I was so happy, and I was trying to go to one more, but it just didn't work out. All the tickets had been taken out by like scalpers, and they were just charging like what was at least 10 months of my rent. So it wasn't gonna happen. And there was a moment where I thought about it, and I was like, what if I just charge it to a credit card? But then I thought, no, you will not be helping scalpers out, Denise. So I decided not to help out the scalpers because I think it's wrong what they do. And so I didn't want to compromise my values just so that I can go and enjoy the show. So I decided against it, even though I was tempted, especially once it came down to the last shows of the Eras Tour.
Sure. I think maybe if Taylor's listening, she might be a fan. I don't know, but if she's listening, I would think for her next big tour in, several years, whenever it is, she should have you come along and hire you on as a tour correspondent. Every single show, you could report from the show, tell all the Swifties what's going on and things like that. Would that be a dream job for you to go on tour and be
I
a
would die, Josh. I would die. Like, I would retire everything that I'm doing right now to go do that full time. I'd probably go retire just to be like her water girl.
Exactly.
Be like,
Well,
yes, my rest of my life, I'll serve Taylor water.
we'll wish that in existence. People, if you remember this, clip this. It's going to happen at some point. Guarantee it. That'd be great. So let's stick to the world of wrestling. We're going to go through the month of October. If you're here for the first time, I go over all the big headlines that we published and sift through them for AEW, WWE, New Japan, TNA, NXT, so on and so forth. There's a junk drawer thing with basically everything I couldn't fit in any of the other sections, and go through some of the big stuff, and then we talk about some of the smaller stuff as well. So we'll kick off with AEW this month, and because October featured a topic that came up a little bit throughout the course of the year, and that being the TV rights update. The AEW and WWBD officially announced the multi-year TV rights renewal, and so the terms weren't ever officially announced. It was kind of floated out there, a 4-year deal, 3 years guaranteed, and so on and so forth. $180-ish million a year at on average. What came with that is the end of Rampage, we'd know, end of Battle of the Belts, or so on. But for the big thing, there's so much conjecture and bullshit online with them. They're not going to get a deal. Oh, it's the reason why it's so late, and blah, blah, blah. And they finally got their deal. Now, they didn't get anything of Fox or anything like that. That stuff may be to come. But for the time being, we know that at least for the next 3 years, guaranteed, Dynamite and Collision are going to be our lives on Wednesday and Saturday night.
Yeah, it was a really cool thing for AEW. I don't think a lot of people realize how cool it is because they're not choosing either or. Either we stick on TBS or we don't stick on TBS. Like, they're doing the whole, we're going to be in two places at once. And that to me is a real, real big step forward because you don't lose your audience that's already tuning in and watching on TBS and TNT and all of that stuff. But on top of that, with the Max streaming deal, it's like now here's like an added place if this is easier for you to watch on here, or for those that couldn't watch because maybe they didn't have cable, but they got streaming services. Everybody's such a different viewer, but I do think the fact that they're going to be in on two places simultaneously is a real big thing because, again, you don't lose your audience that likes to watch on TV. So this is huge, and I think that AEW deserves some really good credit for what they were able to accomplish here.
Yeah, it's I think it's going to be a very interesting few years ahead. I think as all AEW stuff is, we're still in this, early stages of a startup in a lot of ways, and they've had some great success. But now, I've said going into this next year, they have, I mean, they have their deck. Their deck is full in terms of talent. All their top talent is healthy. Knock on wood, coming back being healthy. They have people that are ready to come back, like the Samoa Joes of the world that people kind of have forgot about that are going to pop up, I think, at any time. All their top guys, Kenny Omega's coming back on the women's side. Basically, everyone is healthy for the most part. There's no excuses at this point. It now just comes down to can you make it as compelling as it possibly can with a lot of wrestlers on the roster? No excuses. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, but there's they got everyone. So we're gonna see what happens. It should be a fun year ahead.
I keep saying the same thing, but I think that both promotions, every promotion, not just WWE and AEW, which I know we spend a lot of time, I spend a lot of time talking about them too, but no, I do think that every promotion should always be putting their best foot forward. And you mentioned all of the talent that AEW has. Like this year, this is the year to utilize a lot of those talents properly and really put your very best out there. Like don't be having your some of your greatest wrestlers just up on the sidelines, you know, like really have them out there front and center. Yeah, I hear you. I want people to think Okada, like for example, that's one example. Like put Okada up in the front, you know, make sure that he's out there doing his thing. But yeah.
I agree. Let's go back to Wrestle Dream. And this had John Moxley. Sadly, we talked about having the deck full. Brian Danielson will not be. You're listening to my 8-year-old daughter is telling me she's listening to podcasts. That's great, honey. I'm recording a podcast right now. Okay, talk to
That's so
you.
sweet.
Yes, the
No,
first time she's interrupted during a show. So I'm going to leave that in. What the
it's
hell?
cute. Hey man, you gotta do what you gotta do, right? You're
She just came in.
parenting and working full time.
She told me she's listening to a podcast. So hopefully it's a good one.
You're like,
Hopefully.
hopefully it's on the Wrestling Observer. I'm
I
like, you're
know.
make sure you're
I
listening.
know exactly. So John Moxley, we talked about the full deck. Brian Danielson not going to be part of that full deck, as we assume, due to neck surgery, if he's going to have that or anything that's going to happen. But John Moxley ending the full-time career of Brian Danielson, winning the AEW World Title at Wrestle Dream, a very womp womp sad ending of the show. Just continue to beat him up and beat him up. He took out his stretcher and just that feeling of like, oh, okay. I guess we're done. It just was such a deflating feeling at the end of this. The show also featured Brian Cage winning the ROH television title. Rico Constantino, remember him from way back in the day, appearing with MXM Collection at the Zero Hour. Adam Cole and MJF made their returns in much different ways, but also intertwined. Konosuke Takeshita finally winning the international title over Will Ospreay after Kyle Fletcher interfered, officially turned heel, and Hologram suffered an injury during his 2 out of 3 falls match with the Beast Mortos at Wrestle Dream. So yeah, this was a newsworthy show. And when I think about, I'm just always going to think of that feeling at the end of the show. And I guess it's what we were supposed to feel, completely bummed that Danielson's full-time run was over. And the way they ended it, though, was so. It was just so hurtful, you know. And all the AEW, the regulars, you know, they tried to help, and they were beat up on the outside. Never looked sad and completed, and defeated, and all that. But it was certainly a, yeah. It was just that feeling of depression. That's kind of what I left that. What about you?
It was a Shakespearean tragedy, right? You know, Shakespeare loves his tragedy. I think if he was a wrestling fan, he'd be all up on this ending here of John
Certainly.
Moxley and Brian Danielson. To me, it was also kind of like a situation where I was looking at this and I was just going like, damn, I personally didn't think that we had to, I personally didn't think we should go to John Moxley as AEW World Champion. And I almost sort of feel a little vindicated right now just because a lot of people have not really been digging what they've been doing with the Death Riders here. And I'm like, dang, I saw this right from the get-go, from the
Really?
second that
Okay.
John,
Yeah.
yeah, from the, I had been like every single week on my podcast being like, I don't think it's a good idea for John Moxley to defeat Brian Danielson. I think it should be someone else. I don't think it should be John Moxley. I don't think it should be John Moxley. And I kept saying it every single week. And right now, I'm like, unless things turn around, like this has not been a fulfilling AEW World Championship run for Moxley. So the one thing that this did give me hope, though, at the end of the show was when we were seeing Darby take such a big part. He was such a big part of this too, right? Like the last one of the lasting image that we saw was like Darby Allin, like brokenhearted at watching Brian
Yeah.
Danielson be taken out like that. And it left me going like, please tell me that Darby Allin is going to be the guy that, you know, takes the title away from John Moxley. And I thought that for a while. And do I feel that now when we're shooting this podcast? Probably not. It feels like that maybe have been pushed even further. But at this point in time, when we were watching Wrestle Dream, I thought that it was going to happen a lot sooner, maybe having Darby take the title off of Mox.
Was that the person that you wanted to get the win over Danielson, or did you have, we were just saying anybody but Mox?
I think I would have preferred that. I would have preferred for Darby to be the one to take the title off
Interesting.
of
Okay.
Bryan. Let's not forget, like, he had his title shot against Bryan, and then he put that up on the line with Moxley. Oh, I hated that. I really, really hated that. All of it, I hated that. And so now I'm just really hoping that they get it together and make the AEW World Championship scene a lot better. But I know we're going into AEW World's End, but I already know we're going to come out of that. With the, I don't think anything's really changing, is what I'm saying. So I'm not even
Fascinating.
getting my hopes up, Josh, at all. My these are this is me with no optimism whatsoever. And I'm the
Unbelievable.
most optimistic person
I
ever.
know, I
But
know.
this one's shooting me down right now.
This is great. I love to hear it. It's good. Honestly, it's what we go for here. Interesting. So we'll see what happens. And yeah, interesting stuff. All right, let's go over some other interesting stuff. We'll go through the first chunk of AEW slash Ring of Honor news here that happened in October. AJ of the Costco guys signed a one-match deal with AEW. QT Marshall challenged him. AJ won a Full Gear match, and they would get it. So that would be coming up for November. Killswitch, aka Luchasaurus, was hospitalized with pneumonia in both lungs. Pretty serious situation there as we sit here near the end of Christmas, or near the end of December, rather, a couple of days before Christmas has yet to return. And seems no scheduled date for that. Adam Copeland, Beth Phoenix, and their family safe following the effects of Hurricane Helene in Asheville, North Carolina. Tony Khan assisting the relief efforts there. FTR had a match on Dynamite to help out as well. And of course, coming up on January 1st, we'll have Fight for the Fallen from Asheville. They'll help support those efforts a lot more. If you saw any pictures, video, and all that, it was a very, very bad scene. And that's a, have you ever been to Asheville before?
Never. I've never
Yeah.
been there. I went, God, I was there for, what was it, in Revolution. That's the only place the only time I've ever been to North Carolina.
Gotcha. So Asheville is kind of like I've been there once. It's known for their beer. It's a huge brewery town and everything like that. It's kind of with their big tourist attractions, the mountains there and things like that. But it's a good, mid-level city. And they were just, it's just crazy. Just see how things just so wiped out there. So hopefully they'll get the help they need and a little bit more money. Coming up on January 1st, AEW filed the trademark King of Hearts, HARTS. Of course, with the association with Martha Hart and the late Owen Hart, Jay White returned from a broken foot, laid out Hangman Page. Shelton Benjamin made his debut on AEW Dynamite, signed a deal. And then Bobby Lashley also made his debut, that coming on the first ever Fright Night Dynamite after the Benjamin and Strickland match on that show. So the Hurt Syndicate officially back in business and are doing big things so far. Taz underwent successful total knee replacement surgery and, spoiler alert, he'll be coming back on Wednesday on Dynamite. Actually, this will come out after that. So yeah, he's back already on Dynamite. We have a couple months after doing that. Mark Davis returned on Fright Night Dynamite to confront Kyle Fletcher. I worry about the future of Mark Davis because it doesn't sound like he's going to be tagging with Kyle Fletcher anytime soon. And maybe one of those tag team partners, kind of just the Jim Neidhart to the Bret Hart, so to speak. But we'll see what happens with Mark Davis. Jake, this was a strange one. Jake Roberts completed a trade with the Don Callis family. He aligned with a new faction on Dynamite. So basically, there was a new LFI, which included Roosh, Dralistico, and I guess the Beast Mortos. He was in out, but we'll have him stick with them. And then Lance Archer went to the Don Callis family, and it was just weird seeing Jake Roberts with Roosh and Dralistico. It was just very odd. Roosh hasn't been on TV for weeks. I think Dralistico's had like one match in the last 6 months for AEW. Just one of those strange kind of like, what is going on here? Finally, Daniel Garcia announced he's staying with AEW. This has been going back for months and months and months, where it was like, will he, won't he, will he, won't he? They kept including in big things to perhaps write him off just in case, and just a really interesting situation in a lot of ways. We can talk about that in a minute if we want. Penelope Ford attacked Jamie Hayter. Penelope Ford finally make her return. And the Title Tuesday edition of Dynamite, the company announced a deal with Fox Sports Mexico as WWE left them, preparing for the Netflix world. Jimmy Jacobs gone from AEW. Leo Rush confirmed he had signed a new contract, something that when he had left years ago, I didn't think was going to happen again. Dalton Castle said he's planning on making his in-ring turn in January after suffering essentially, I think, a concussion. He tore his biceps and all types of injuries. So finally going to be coming back, looks like, in a month or so. The company was interested in making a match that originally was a social media hoax. You remember this? There was that Takeshita versus Máscara Dorada match at Dynamite, and people were really excited for it. Some fan created it. It looked exactly like a regular AEW Dynamite title card. And then they're like, no, it's actually not happening. And then Tony Khan was said to be like, I think I kind of want to make that. They haven't yet, but maybe we'll see that at some point. Sammy Guevara cleared for return following concussion. He was stretchered out of a Ring of Honor taping. The final Battle of the Belts 12. Womp womp was held. Kazuchika Okada and Kyle O'Reilly went the distance in a Continental title match. Sting said he signed a multi-year licensing deal with AEW. Adam Cole confirmed his relationship with Britt Baker was over and that he also needed a cadaver bone in his ankle after suffering that Grand Slam injury in 2023. And then the company filed to trademark AEW Max Month and WrestleMax. So I assume we'll be hearing a lot more about those in 2025. Thoughts about any of that?
Oh, man. Well, where do I begin here? Dang. So I guess I'm going to start off by saying that the Costco guys, they are really like they're doing a lot. You know, I know it's kind of weird sometimes when you got like influencers and whatnot coming into pro wrestling. And there is this stigma where you're like, influencers, we don't want them here. Of course, you know, Big Boom AJ was in the wrestling business, so that definitely helps them. But I do want to give them some credit, though, because, I mean, we just saw them on Collision once again, but they're going out there. They were part of the AEW All In Media Day. And I'm thinking, dang, they're going all out. Like, really? You know, they're doing more media than some of the AEW talent that's with AEW that are, like, full-time wrestlers. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, you know what? I respect that because I really respect when people go out of their way to talk to the media to promote the events. It's such a huge part of pro wrestling that I feel like people definitely need to do. I feel so terrible for Killswitch, man. It was so crazy too because like this happened so fast. Josh, I was supposed to interview Killswitch literally that week that got hospitalized. I was about to have an interview with him. I think it was like on a Tuesday or something. And the day before or 2 days before they announced like, oh yeah, he's, you know, hospitalized. And I'm like, oh my God, like this happened so fast. Like, 1 second, you know, his publicist is reaching out to me saying, hey, he wants to get more media attention. He wants to do more in the media realm. And I'm like, all right, cool. You know, that's great. And the next thing you know, like life comes at you so fast. And now he's, you know, in the hospital with pneumonia. And I'm just like, oh, my God, I felt horrible seeing that because, you know, obviously it's no one's plan to get sick. It's no one's plan to get pneumonia. It's no one's plan to do any of that. So I just felt really, really bad knowing that he was obviously trying to, you know, get his name out there a little bit more in a totally different kind of a way, not with this kind of headline. So that was definitely something that I was thinking about. Jay White returning. He's somebody that I didn't think was, you know, treated like the star that he was when he came into AEW. I've been wanting to see the booking turn around for him. And thankfully, him laying out Hangman Page has been a great freaking start to that. I've liked everything that they've done following that with Hangman and Jay White. Of course, Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley, the Hurt Syndicate coming into AEW has been huge too. Shelton Benjamin has sort of had this, a lot of people looked at him fondly, right? Like the nostalgia aspect is everybody that had seen him wrestle back in WWE. They all knew he was an extraordinary wrestler, right? But it was almost like it became a legend of some sort because so many of the new fans hadn't seen Shelton Benjamin wrestle. And now you're seeing Shelton Benjamin wrestle and the fans are like, yeah, see, I told you like that guy was good. And we're getting to see that here in AEW. So that was, I'm excited to see how they continue the growth of the Hurt Syndicate. They have definitely been interesting to see so far on AEW. And then I feel bad, man, because when you mentioned AEW Battle of the Bouts, bro, that was so under the radar. I don't even remember this. I'm going to be honest with you, Josh. I don't remember the last time I watched Battle of the Bouts. I think what you said, this one was number 12. Dude, I think the last one I watched was like 4. I don't even know. It's been such a long time. And so I was looking at that and I was going like, oh, I didn't even realize that happened that month. So I just feel bad, but they never really did any real major promotion for Battle of the Bouts.
Yeah. No belts ever changed hands after like the first, like the third one. It was like Sammy Guevara won the TNT title twice. And there was like one other title change and that was it. It just never, it was, there was no reason for it to exist at that point. And I did want to ask you about Daniel Garcia. Cause I when I was reading through his headlines, he announced he's staying. And I remember reading a feature on him when he kind of said that he said it was like a really hard decision. And I was so fascinated by that answer because it really kind of marked this year. I've noted a lot that there's been a lot of re-signings with WWE and a lot of people are just like, I'm not even going to bother going to free agency. I'm just going to re-up. All these big stars are doing it. And Daniel Garcia was like, he's for a company that AEW kind of signed him initially, gave him a platform. I know it may have been some frustrations, but, you know, he's in the Continental Classic last year, doing all types of, you know, interesting things kind of in the mix. For a young guy, I didn't see where the fit was going to be in WWE or even NXT. He could have found his way, but they have a lot of people there. I was so surprised. He'd be like, it was a really hard decision. And I thought, I don't know what that means, but I kind of think I know what it means. I was just surprised by that answer.
I think the way that he meant it is more, or I would assume that the way he meant it, it's like, okay, WWE is a dream for like a lot of people, right? WWE is the top of the top. And so when you get offered, like, or I'm assuming, you know, that's on the table, all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, like the prom queen wants me. And hey, that's sure. Kind of hard to like, you know, completely disregard, right? But I do think though that Daniel Garcia sticking with AEW was definitely the right decision for him. I do see him maybe someday going to WWE, but I feel like he could wait, you know, become a bigger star on AEW. He's still not, I still don't think he has reached that star level that he can. And that's why I thought like, this kind of feels a little rushed. Like, why not go when you are at your peak, when you really are the biggest star in AEW? Like, if you get there, then I would be like, sure, if WWE were to offer you a contract, go when you're your hottest. Like, why stunt your growth when you can continue growing in one promotion that you already know? And I feel like had he made that decision sooner, he probably would have defeated MJF in that match that we saw, because we all know like that's why he didn't win, because right. Probably AEW thought, oh well, you're probably gonna go to WWE, so why are we gonna give you this massive win over MJF if you're gonna just dump us afterwards? So I wish he would have made the decision a lot sooner so that we could have seen that really play out just a lot better. But I think at the end of the day, he did make the right call. If not, I would have definitely seen him honestly in WWE. I think he would have been a really great fit on NXT. And I say this because I say this all the time. We need more male stars on NXT. And I do think that Daniel Garcia would have been tremendous there. But I don't think he was yet at the level to just like bypass NXT and go straight to Raw and SmackDown. Like, I did not see that right. For Daniel Garcia. I saw him having to make that pit stop in NXT first and sort of proving himself. You know, just like we're seeing Lexus King, just like we're seeing with Ethan Page. And that's more of what I saw happening for Daniel Garcia.
Okay. I'm going to put a pin in that when you get to the NXT section. I want to ask you more about that comment. Let's go the rest of the month in AEW and Ring of Honor. Maria Kanellis, quite a month. She said that her AEW contract was set to expire at the end of October. She was open to, quote unquote, accepting interviews afterward about time and treatment in AEW after October 31st. And I don't know. She has some medical issues since then, some complications. She underwent surgery for this adrenal gland mass. She was readmitted after. So just a really hellish year health-wise for Maria Kanellis, and I assume she is not under contract at this point. I'm not sure. I'm sure you might be on the interview circuit when she's ready to talk, given that you talk to a lot of these stars. So we'll see what happens there. But very kind of confusing, and I'm sure we'll get some clarity at some point about Maria Kanellis' situation. Private Party avoided a breakup and won the AEW Tag Team titles on Fright Night Dynamite, defeating the Young Bucks, who then tucked tail and ran and decided to do some working from home, as many of us are prone to do, haven't done for quite some time. The company had their fifth anniversary Dynamite, celebrate their fifth anniversary, rather. Bryan Danielson versus Okada was a double title match that headlined the show. And they also had what, quote unquote, the biggest overrun ever on that show as well. AEW Meal in the Match returning with new episodes on YouTube. Anthony Henry underwent surgery for a torn biceps. Powerhouse Hobbs confirmed he was cleared for his AEW return. It'll be about a month or so till he returned in November. Speaking of November, AEW Full Gear, MJF was set to face either Adam Cole or Roderick Strong in this essentially first one to get to 3-win series. So that happened. Julia Hart also set to make her return, just waiting for the call. So she started to work her way back in December. And now she'll officially come back in January 1st. Full Gear also started to take shape. Other matches, Jay White to face Hangman Page. And then your favorite, Jon Moxley, set to defend the title against Orange Cassidy. Nicholas Jackson of the Young Bucks worked that tag team match and be working about previous month or so with a separated shoulder. Bandito officially set to return, finally coming back in December. The poor guy got concussed his first time out, the first spot. Ruby Soho and Angela Parker announced the birth of their new daughter, their first daughter. Good year for them. Tony Nese and their wife welcomed the birth of twin boys. And then Chris Jericho, speaking of Ring Honor, winning the ROH world title on an episode of Dynamite. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, I was so happy, by the way, when Powerhouse Hobbs confirmed that he was cleared to return to AEW because, man, I'm rooting for that guy. I think he's incredibly talented. I think he's got a great look. I think that he can go places. My favorite match of his that he's had in AEW was his match with Miro, where everybody was chanting "me, me,
Yes,
me."
yes.
That was so iconic, and I felt so bad when he got hurt because I felt like, oh, he was like starting to get this really good momentum. I mean, he wasn't when he got hurt. He was in a match with Jon Moxley, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that the main event, or was
Yes,
it the main event? It was the
that's for
main
the
event,
IWGP title. Yeah.
right? So like that was huge. So I felt so bad seeing Hobbs get hurt during that. Really, really did. And then of course, Bandido. God, right now when you were kind of going back to like, oh, he was ready to return, I'm like, oh no, not Bandido. Today a lot of us woke up to the headline of Bandido suffered a concussion. He's out indefinitely right now. And that definitely sucks because he came back, Josh, and he was freaking jacked, man. He looks good. Like he's jacked. He looks great. And I'm like, let's go, Bandido. Come on. You could be Ring of Honor World Champion again. Or hell, you could even do a lot more on the AEW side, whatever it is that, Tony Khan sees fit with Bandido, right? And man, this bummed me out. I definitely think Bandido was probably gonna. I think Bandido, I guess, depending on how long he's out for, I still see him defending Chris, defeating Chris Jericho for that Ring of Honor World title. And I think that title's coming back to Bandido.
I think so too. Let's go to WWE. And of course, the big event, big news of this month was Bad Blood in Atlanta, Georgia. First time in years that Bad Blood had returned. And a few things on this show. A newsreader, Naomi, hosted the show with Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. And you see the seedings and kind of this union, and I think what's going to lead to Naomi perhaps being the one to have taken out Bianca Belair, or sorry, Jade Cargill rather. It could be a Naomi and Bianca, some big swerve coming, but I think the storyline, you're starting to see the underpinnings of this happening in the early part of the fall. CM Punk defeated Drew McIntyre in the Hell in a Cell match. That was obviously the main event of the show, the one that so many people rather were focused on. And I think it delivered. Blood in a cage match at WWE. Check the box for that. Yes. And I think this was going into this, and we talk about more about this in a minute. This is a good indication of how different WWE was. Because during the Vince era, no blood, none of this, none of this. And we saw some of those Hell in the Cell matches and other cage matches. Remember, like the Seth Rollins Fiend match, that just the end of that was just so strange. It left so many people so bummed. And to have this, a old school blood, just two guys fighting and both guys just bleeding all over the place. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Goldberg, speaking about going to the past, appeared at the show, tells Gunther that he's next. How about that? Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard attended the show. Raquel Rodriguez returned to the show, attacking Rhea Ripley. The Rock and Jimmy Uso returned to the show. And then Kevin Owens, you remember this, attacked Cody Rhodes in the parking lot following the show. This was, again, another indication of WWE leveraging their social media, essentially extending the show. It's interesting because there was an era in which you'd be like, everything we want people to see, if people are going to want to see it, we're going to have it while it's on air. That doesn't happen anymore. We saw this with The Rock and Cody Rhodes earlier in the year with that attack outside the bus. It started on Raw, but then it continued, and Rock uploaded this stuff to Instagram after, and millions of people are watching this. And the same thing here. This saw the same thing as Saturday Night's Main Event. And like the after the camera stopped rolling, the phones start rolling and the regular camera start rolling, you still extend it out and be like a few million people are going to see it no matter what. So we're good. So it's so fascinating to see how they're kind of using social and YouTube and all these other things to kind of expand things out a bit. I could not tell you, and I was going to look this up and I forgot to do it. I can't tell you what The Rock did on the show. Did he just come out? Did he just
He just came out and he like pointed at like Cody and they were just like in the ring, Cody and Roman, and that was literally it.
Okay.
He didn't do anything.
Very good. What are the thoughts you have about Bad Blood? What do you remember about it?
I had a great time at Bad Blood. I really did. It was a fun show. I love CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. This is the match that they needed to have for this whole 10-month feud that they had. This is the one that really solidified that made the 10 months worth it. So that was great. And of course, we know that Goldberg went on to say that 2025 he's going to be having his last match. And I
Yep.
think everybody is pretty much expecting that person that he's going to be facing to be Gunther. So, and given what we saw here today, sorry, not today, but at Bad Blood, that was clearly an indication that that's going to happen.
Yeah, that cage match. I think to me that's my feud of the year. I think I've said this on the show before. It was so they used Punk so effectively while he was hurt. And I flipped to kind of AEW and like how they used Adam Cole when he was hurt. And it just, you see two ways to go about it. And I thought they used Punk masterfully, used him. When he was cleared up physically to do certain things, they did it. But just, you know, Drew sacrificing his world, you know, he cashed in the Money in the Bank thing, and they had had Punk screw him on that. That just added more heat to it. Everything just worked, and this was a great culmination of it as well. So good point there. Let's go through some of the other WWE headlines. Few chunks here. They filed the trademark. Yes, yes, yes. Of course, last month Bryan Danielson said he got some sort of legal letter from WWE because he was trying to trademark. Yes, there was a I forget about this. There was a controversial comment made during Raw where Carlito, I think it was Io Sky and was it Kairi Sane? I can't remember who was there, but essentially they walked away. He said, and Carlito said, "I have to learn Chinese" or something like that, which was unscripted and got a lot of attention. Got edited out of stuff. And so on. Hall of Famer Pete Rose passed away. Of course, no more for baseball than wrestling, but certainly no stranger to Kane. Those some of those segments. Crown Jewel taking shape. And company announced they were going to crown the first ever Crown Jewel champions in November. Two champions versus champion matches are official. Cody versus Gunther, and then Nia versus Liv Morgan. Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens. Two other title matches are announced for the show. Roman Reigns and the Usos against the Bloodline. So you're starting to see that Bloodline versus New Bloodline feud start taking place, and obviously would keep going. It's going to be going for quite some time, I'm sure. And also a good grudge match, Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed. Candice LeRae was crowned the first ever women's speed champion. AJ Styles suffered a midfoot ligament sprain in a SmackDown match, and he was set to be out for quite some time. News came out, I think Dave might have been the first person to report this, that The Rock might not compete at WrestleMania 41. Still remains to be seen. CM Punk booked a quote-unquote key role in a horror movie, and he also indicated that he's taking some time off in a Raw promo he did following the Hell in the Cell match. Of course, he would make a big return in Survivor Series, the War Games match. Completely blank there. Company and Netflix announced they're producing a behind-the-scenes documentary series, a shoulder programming. So that'll be coming out in 2025. Damian Priest starred in a New York Yankees World Series hype video. It did not work as the Yankees lost. Motor City Machine Guns made their debut, and they eventually won the tag team titles quite quickly after their debut. So a big thing for them. The Usos reunited on SmackDown. Steve Austin saying he needs a knee replacement pretty quick. And some people took this to mean because is he getting ready for WrestleMania 41? Is that why he needs it really quick? We'll have to see. And the company announced, this is one of the bigger stories of the year, I think, their new WWE ID program for indie wrestlers. And we learned that some were already under contract. So it remains to be seen what it's about. A lot of people have questions about it, skeptical for good reasons, but I guess we'll see what's going on. Thoughts about any of this?
Man, as much as I would love to see Stone Cold Steve Austin at WrestleMania, just the fact that he needs a knee replacement, I mean, I think pretty quickly meant he can't handle the pain anymore because the pain of, knee pain is just, awful and you have to live with it every single day. And as we know, it gets worse during the winter because of the coldness. It just like really makes it even worse. So I imagine that the pretty quick for the knee replacement just meant that he was probably under a tremendous amount of pain and needed to have that knee replacement before it got any worse. So I hope that first and foremost that he takes care of that because that just sounds awful. And I don't know, he's only doing the one knee, right? Because Kurt Angle did the two knees. So I'm just like, God, the pain that these guys like that they're going through is just, I think sometimes we forget the long-lasting effects of being a professional wrestler and whatnot. So shout out to Austin, and I hope that he's healing up okay from all of that. And then the WWE ID program, I think that was probably one of the most unique things that we got in this time period because not a lot of people were like, a lot of us, we were like, what is exactly does this mean? What is
Right.
this? Like, how is this going to help? What is it? And I think, like, even now, we still have a lot of questions, but I think we understand the program a lot more now, but we still haven't really seen it. I guess we still really haven't seen like the full cause and effect of having the WWE ID program. Right now, it just seems like a cute little verification badge is how I'm seeing it. Like, this is WWE's way of sort of verifying certain people. That's what it feels like to me. It feels like a Twitter badge, right? Your little Instagram badge. You're verified. You are a verified indie wrestler. That's almost what it feels like. Of course, there's more nuances than that, but it's one of those things that we're still waiting to see how it plays out. And another one that we're waiting to see how it plays out is The Rock and whether or not he's going to appear at WrestleMania 41. I want him to appear at WrestleMania 41, but I understand that it's The Rock and he's got a million different projects, and I get that. But at the same time, I want The Rock at WrestleMania. But at the exact same time, too, I should add that we don't technically need The Rock only because we do have like a bunch of other people that people are interested in. You got CM Punk, you got Roman, you got Cody, you got John Cena. So there is definitely a lot of other players that can be in these really key matches. So you don't technically need The Rock. It would be great, but maybe don't actually need it per se.
Yeah, I'd love to see him commit for four more matches, one more John Cena match, one more CM Punk match, the Cody match, and the Roman Reigns match, and then be done. That's it. There's stories in each of them. I don't know if we're ever going to get him to commit. That'd be great. I mean, Cena's doing the retirement tour. Rock is never going to do that. He's way too busy. But if he was commit for, give us these final four. It will be good. And then that's it. There's no nothing else, nothing else, nothing else to add to his story. You know what I mean?
I just want to see Rock and Cody, Rock and Roman. Those are the
Yes.
two ones that I primarily want to see. Oh, and then Rock and CM Punk. I'm gonna throw that in there.
Okay, good. All right. Here we go. We're signed on. Final four. Let's go to the rest of WWE's month. Company announced that Rhea Ripley was set to miss a undisclosed amount of time due to a fractured orbital bone. Another person agreeing to a no new long-term contract with the company, so she had no interest in going anywhere. And Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez attacked her on an episode of NXT. It was not shown on TV. This parking lot, I assume you've been to this parking lot performance center. I have never been, and I'm glad you're safe, that you have not been attacked there. Like all these wrestlers that go there, every time someone goes out there, someone gets hurt, it's taken out. I would never want to go there. But yeah, it's so that was explained to take her out of storyline, and she would return, of course, for really the next month, wearing the mask and all that stuff for War Games. One of her big rivals, Liv Morgan, signed a new 5-year contract with the company as well. Someone that I think if you had said 5 years ago, would she still be in WWE? There'd be a big like, I doubt it. And it takes one regime change and a little bit of effort. And now it's like, of course, she's not going to go anywhere. But even 3 years ago, you could just say she probably needs a new place to collect a paycheck because it's just not it, there's just not happening here. And all it takes is one change. So how about that? Ilya Dragunov signed up with a torn ACL. Company announced they're bringing Elimination Chamber to England. A lot of PLEs going to be happening on foreign soil in 2025 for sure. Lillian Garcia returned to ring announcing on Raw. Braun Breaker won the Intercontinental title. Lawsuit was filed against WWE. Vince and Linda McMahon on behalf of the Ring Boy scandal survivors. A report came out that Vince McMahon is preparing to launch an entertainment company. Good luck with that. Former WWE writers accused McMahon of creating a hostile and sexist environment. Janelle Grant, in part of the latest info in the Grant McMahon lawsuit, asked WWE to waive NDAs, allowing others to come forward. Her team also asked the court to deny McMahon's doctor's motion to dismiss the case. So that story still goes on as we approach the end of the year. The New Jersey Sports Authority approved the use of pandemic funding, of all things, to bring in SummerSlam 2025. I don't know if that's the right appropriation of funds, but that's government for you. Hornswoggle signed a WWE Legends deal. Shinsuke Nakamura was announced to be returning to Pro Wrestling Noah on January 1st, so that's coming up next week. Eric and Ivar returned to Raw as the War Raiders. Brie Bella confirmed that her mother got a divorce from John Laurinaitis. Good for her. Samantha Irvin announced her departure from the company. Her husband Ricochet said that husband or fiance, I can't remember which, said that she is not going to AEW. Said she didn't like ring announcing. She wanted to actually manage in WWE, and that her and the company could not come to terms on outside projects. I include this quote because this was got a lot of news. Triple H on black representation WWE. I don't see the color. I just see talent. That quote made its way around quite a bit on social media. DDP also signing a Legends deal. Braun Strowman say he tore his groin during his last Monster Standing match on Raw. I believe that was against Bronson Reed. And then Aaliyah wrestled her first post-WWE match at a Destiny wrestling event. Thoughts about any of that?
God, so much happened during this. Like sometimes you forget how much goes down, but when you look at it like this on a bullet point list, you're looking at that and you're going like, yeah, that happened. Oh, that happened all at the same time. That's wild. I'm happy that Rhea Ripley wasn't as out as long as we probably assumed that she was out and that she was able to make it to War Games. I think that Liv Morgan should definitely be a contender for having probably the best 2024 year in WWE. She really skyrocketed into superstardom. I was so freaking sad when Ilya Dragunov got sidelined with the torn ACL. Oh, this depressed me so much. I'm like, he's finally on the main roster. He's killing it. Triple H just put him in all these matches and then he gets hurt. I'm like, no, like not Ilya Dragunov. I had some big hopes for him. So I cannot wait for him to come back. I'm going to pop really hard when Ilya Dragunov comes back in 2025. And of course, you know, I was bummed to see Samantha Irving leave WWE. I did think that she was and is their best ring announcer, especially on the female side that they've had. So I was very sad to see her go. But once I learned that this was something that she didn't want to do, I 100% understood that. And I'm like, she's great at it. But if it's not what you want to do and it's not what's making you happy, then you got to change your life, right? You got to live your life and be happy with what you want to do. So I thought that was definitely something there. And then just, oh God, the Vince McMahon stuff. I mean, when I saw that he was preparing to launch an entertainment company, I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. Honestly, it really, really does. I would expect nothing less at this point. And yeah, I think, you know, obviously been following Janelle Grant's story with everything that's been going on with her and Vince. And it's just been, you know, it's been a minute since a lot since Tess came out. I think this was really one of the biggest headlines for this time period of the year and kind of been silent a little bit. I know she recently restarted because she had put a pause on it, but I think she's been good to go on that and restart that again, I believe. So yeah, I mean, I'm just, wow, so much freaking happened here. What
I
a
know.
time period. And yes, also when Triple H said that comment, I knew the second he said that was going to be something that went viral. Knew it right on the spot. I think everybody in the room and everybody watching on the live stream knew it.
Yep. All right, let's go to NXT and we'll go through the month. A big CW debut happened, of course, in Chicago, Illinois. Cora Jade made her return on that show. The show averaged nearly 900,000 viewers, so a big opening success for CW as NXT went to the first broadcast network. Triple H and Shawn Michaels opened up the premiere, revealed some brand new titles, perfect for the holiday season. You know, they love to sell those belts, so it's a good way to do that as well. Trick Williams took home one of those belts, crowned the NXT champion, picked up a win there, I believe, over Ethan Page. CM Punk, who was the guest referee for that match, gave the fans free pizza following the show. He loves to do that. He loves to give fans ice cream and pizza. Very, very benevolent guy, this CM Punk. Shawn Michaels said he could absolutely see Punk run NXT one day. I think there's 0.0% chance that ever happens. That's just my opinion. But it's just very, I can't see it. I just can't see it. Bianca Belair and Jade Cargo was set for action on NXT. And it brings that up because as we go through this list, a lot of main roster talent continuing to kind of make NXT part of their run. Obviously, rewarding CW for giving them the money. And I think I'm very fascinated to see if they start really kind of building that out more to maybe get a little bit more touring in and potentially some more main roster people there. Just a hunch maybe for 2025, especially with less house shows, you know, case to do that a little bit more, especially if you're going to see some local stars. It's one of those potential future stars. Stephanie Vaquer made her debut, actually teaming with Julia. There'll be a feud I think we'll probably see in the year ahead. Tone DeAngelo won the North American title from Oba Femi. Nikita Lyons made her official return to TV. They had to reschedule some Coconut Loop, Florida house shows due to Hurricane Milton. And then also they announced NXT was going to appear from the ECW Arena, the former ECW Arena, the 2300 Arena. Rob Van Dam and Francine were set to be on that show. Dawn Marie is set to referee a Lola Vice versus Jada Parker hardcore match. And Bubba Ray Dudley is set to team with Trick Williams against Ethan Page and Ridge Holland. Delta made her debut as Zarya on the show. Fallon Henley won the Women's North American title. Jey Uso, another main roster person, saying he's going to appear in NXT. And then there was report that a man was removed from a hotel for allegedly taking photos of NXT wrestlers' feet. Very strange. People are just very strange. Thoughts about any of that?
First of all, you should not be taking pictures of anyone's feet and then
No.
going through such drastic measures to get it. And I'm like, Where were these being posted? Who was paying for them? What are we doing? Like, this is just nuts. But hey, ma'am, I mean, this is pro wrestling and this is life in general. We've heard some really crazy stories. I mean, if we were to do this whole roundup of everything that happened this year, we would be like losing our minds over everything that happened. But no, NXT really did have a phenomenal year, Josh. I really do think that NXT had the best year so far since they went from black and gold to this new NXT. This was by far their best year, where I think they sort of gained a little bit more respect. More people chose to watch NXT because for a while there, people didn't want to give NXT a chance. And 2024 was really a better year. And this month in particular was great because you mentioned all these people. Cora Jade comes back. She's a fan favorite. We see Trick Williams, who, when he won the NXT championship, everybody was like, yeah, like this is great. Like, I'm so happy for Trick Williams. Stephanie Vaquer, Julia, Zarya, all these people coming in made things very, very entertaining. So, yeah, I think they've gone out of their way to really, really make NXT such a stronger brand to the point now that people that watch NXT on a weekly pace basis have become very passionate about the show. And it was the second, it felt like the passion had been lost for NXT, but I feel like it's coming back now. So the only other thing that I would say is Obafemi should have probably stayed with that NXT North American Championship. That's the only thing I would have kept the title on Oba.
Gotcha. So you mentioned earlier that you wish that you hope that or you think that NXT needs more male stars. Expound on that a little bit. I'd like to hear about that.
Yeah, so I feel like, and I cover NXT on a weekly basis, and I talk with people on the chat, on social media. We talk about, what it is that's doing well and what people care about. And the people just don't really care about the guys. Like, they're not that interesting. And I mean, I'm not saying that about everybody, obviously. People love Trick Williams, people like Ethan Page. Those are people that, they're getting behind of, but a lot of the other guys are sort of missing the mark. And the show, people care about, oh my God, who's Roxanne Perez gonna fit? Who is Julia gonna face next? What about Stephanie? All of the women, Saraya, Kalani Jordan, all of them are what people care about. And that ends up being like the biggest topic of the night. I think that Trick Williams, when he became NXT champion, I mean, the only person that was interesting that he feuded with was Ethan Page. And it didn't feel like there were really anybody else of interest to see Trick Williams face. And then when Ethan Page had the title, nobody cared about anybody that he faced unless it was Trick Williams. And so we found ourselves with slim pickings on the men's side of things. And they just needed more people on the men's side that you actually cared about. And that became a problem. And I still think it's something that they still haven't necessarily fixed. Like, I still think they need a lot of guys there and guys that are actually going to get over, whether it's on the personality side or the in-ring side or both, and they still need more men there, like so many more.
Gotcha. That's a good take. Yeah, I agree. I think the women, it feels like there's so much more buzz. And I don't watch NXT on a regular basis, but when you sign Vakur, Julia, and I wasn't that familiar with Zarya before, but people were very excited when they signed her. That's three that if you have those in like a 2 year stretch, that's pretty good. They had them all like within like a month or 2 months, right? It was just wild that's all gonna happen. And one person that you did not mention because she's not even on the roster, but was on a lot was Jordynne Grace. And everyone expects Jordynne Grace to be there when her deal comes out. Of course, there was a lot of NXT women they're on the or TNA women that were on the show and vice versa. So yeah, it felt like more of the women were definitely more featured, and there didn't have the other than like a Joe Hendry that came in. There was a lot of interest there. But you're right, kind of the homegrown stuff. I mean, there's people like in Obafemi, who I think he's got it. I think when he eventually goes to main roster when he's ready, that's going to be a really big star. And that's someone they built from the ground up. But yeah, I think it's this year ahead, building up more internal singles talents, whether you're breaking up tag teams or doing something like that. I think that would certainly serve them well to maybe kind of even some things out. But they, yeah, that'll be an interesting challenge for them in the year ahead.
I think so too. Yeah. And Obafemi, I think that he's the one that a lot of people are really expecting to break out in 2025.
Yeah. Let's go through the month of TNA. This is dominated, of course, by the very sad news that Chris Bey was seriously injured at the post Bound for Glory taping, stretchered out, emergency surgery needed, said to be in good spirits. As we sit here in late December, we still don't know what the injury was. We just assume it was something to do with the neck. The footage was never shown, obviously, but It was on a pretty, I guess, standard spot by all intents and purposes, and it just shows that this stuff is dangerous. I talk about this with a friend of mine that owns an indie promotion that we do. We talk about stuff, and Chris Bain actually worked for him before, and I've seen him live. He's a really outstanding talent, and it just we take for granted in the big promotions and the indies, like, you know, there's always a chance like you fucked up, and you know people do these things, but it is like. We take for granted how easy some of these people make it look. And granted, people miss spots and all those type of things. But it is really dangerous what they're doing. I mean, you just think of like the amount of ladder matches and plunder matches and all these things we see. And people are banged up, but they're out the next night on Raw, the next Dynamite, you know, whatever it is, and they're still going. And it's crazy. And this kind of was a good reminder of like, this wasn't a hardcore match. It just was a regular match. It was just a spot that went wrong. The same thing with, you know, Big E. I mean, Big E took a belly back German, I think, on the outside of the ring, and he doesn't know if he's going to be able to ever get back. He might not want to at this point. It's this stuff is like so scary. And again, we watch so much of it. I think we get desensitized to it and think of just how dangerous it is and things like that, or a sober reminder that it's a physical game. It really is.
Yeah, I couldn't be more. Dude, Chris Bey is one of the nicest people. I've known him now for years. Used to ring announce him a bunch out here in LA. So, Chris Bey, he's one of the most positive people. When I saw, like, I see his tweets all the time, like before this injury happened, and spoke to him and talked to him so many times, and he's always so positive about everything. So when I saw that he got injured, I was just like, no. And then when I saw that it was like, you know, this neck injury, was like, oh God, this is worse. And I think later on, I forgot when and who, but someone said that it was one of the worst neck injuries in wrestling in like a long time. Someone said, I forgot who it was, but that recently came out not too long ago. And I just thought, not Chris Bey, man. Obviously, you don't want to happen to anybody, but having had those conversations with Chris, having seen where he came from and how he was building himself up in TNA, it really, really is heartbreaking. The one thing I will say is, though, that I've loved to see the wrestling community. They have really come together, and so many people have donated on the GoFundMe. TNA has gone out of their way to find all of these different ways to like generate some more income to give to Chris Bey. So that has been very nice, but I really do wish Chris Bey the absolute best, and I hope that he gets man, I hope that he just right now the wrestling thing isn't even the biggest issue. It's just having a life that he can live and be okay and be able to live without pain. That's the most important part.
Exactly. Get to the point, depending on what it is, you know, get to the point that Big E is at where he's living a great life. He can weightlift, he can do all these things. But he doesn't know if he's going to wrestle again and also be able to find those other outlets outside that are going to make you feel like you have a complete life. And I mean, look
Right.
at people like TJ Wilson, you know, he's a trainer, he's doing all types of stuff. So in due time, we'll see. Hopefully you'll hear some good news in 2025. Let's go through the rest of the month. Bound for Glory, Frankie Kazarian winning the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. Masha Slamovich winning the Knockouts title. Nick Nemeth retaining the TNA World title over Joe Hendry, the Hardys winning the tag team title. So it's mid-2000s, late-2000s, WWF all over again, WWE rather. Nick Nemeth, Dolph Ziggler, and the Hardys. In the report, it came out that WWE passed on a potential AJ Styles TNA Hall of Fame induction. And then later he said he doesn't want to be any Hall of Fame while still active. The company announced Genesis for January, swapping out with Hard to Kill. And also a live edition of Impact for January, which now we know is going to be live in Canada as well, as they got a big deal and basically outscooped AEW. Very surprising news, and one of the biggest sports outlets and news stations or networks rather in Canada. Vikingo was also on that Bound for Glory taping, and he got stretchered out as well. Thankfully, it was a much lesser injury, but that was a crazy night. Casey Navarro signed a multi-year deal. We had, of course, more NXT crossover. Sol Ruka, Wendy Chu, Brinley Reese, Ariana Grace appearing at a TV taping. And Reese also worked the Bound for Glory pre-show match as well. So definitely getting some of the less experienced talent, some more experience at a different company altogether. And then Steph DeLander underwent neck surgery, and we don't know when her return is going to be. I will ask you to kind of round out the TNA stuff, and we'll move on. Is what are your thoughts about Joe Hendry and in general kind of the NXT TNA crossover, given you know you do all the you know the NXT stuff, the watch alongs. What's kind of been your feeling about all this?
Yeah, man, Joe Hendry absolutely killed it on NXT, and he was just like, So much fun. Anytime he was on the show, people looked forward to it. People wanted to see what he was going to do. And obviously, he got so much more popularity because of it. Like now you're constantly seeing, his face all over the crowd. People always have that picture of him in the crowd. People are always promoting him. And I think the general consensus from the fans has been, why hasn't TNA put the strap on this man? Why are they waiting so long? Granted, he does have a title shot at Genesis January, I think they said 19th or is it 16th? 16th or 19th, whatever.
Yeah, that
But that's
Sunday,
when,
whatever. Yeah.
yeah, that Sunday, we're going to get Nick Nemeth versus Joe Hendry for the title. And if they don't strap him then, I don't know what to say because people have been waiting for a very long time. He's very well deserved. He's very popular. If I were TNA, I would have done it right away, to be honest.
Let's go to Japan. We'll go through. There's a couple of things I want to ask you about here. Zack Sabre Jr. defeating Tetsuya Naito for the IWGP World Title at King of Pro Wrestling. Ren Narita defeated Jeff Cobb and Yota Tsuji in a three-way to win the TV title. Kushida and Kevin Knight won the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team titles at that show. Pro Wrestling Noah introducing the GHC Women's title. Company New Japan rather announcing Strong Style Evolved, which took place actually last week in December in Long Beach. Mercedes Moné confirmed that show having won the matches of the year in that promotion or for that show rather happened last week. The company's historic crossover with Stardom, the second one there taking shape. President Tanahashi, Hiroshi Tanahashi, officially set to follow the John Cena route, retiring in 2026. It also revealed the date of his final match. The Young Bucks set to make their return to Japan for Wrestle Dynasty, which is coming up on January 5th. An IWGP World Title bout, other matches made for Power Struggle. Kenny Omega set to make a guest appearance at Power Struggle. I'm going to ask you about Kenny Omega in just a minute. Fighting Spirit Unleashed, November in Lowell, Massachusetts, was taking shape. A Grizzled Young Veterans versus the Mighty Don't Kneel TMDK tag team title match. Gabe Kidd defending his title against Vegeta and Anna Jay, one of the most improved women's talents, I think, around. Thanks to that trip to Japan that she took, more wrestlers should do that. Announced for a number one contenders match. The Super Junior Tag Team Tag League kicked off. El Phantasmo said that the doc just found a quote unquote little tumor of cancer. He was taking indefinite leave, I believe. He just announced he was going to be returning to action. So that's good to hear. Kenny Omega would absolutely love to compete at Wrestle Dynasty. Josh Barnett set to guest coach at the New Japan Dojo. That can be announced Battle in the Valley coming up in less than a month's time. RealQuest 4 happened. Tanahashi versus Evil official for Wrestle Kingdom 19. Kenosuke Takeshita from AEW announced for two New Japan events. Excuse me. Kota Ibushi set to miss some DDT events in October. And then the Rascals and won the tag team titles. Ricochet returned to Japan for the first time, appearing at a Glee show. And that is also in a tag match where he got to face up against Vikingo. I believe for the first time or first time in a long time that those two guys had squared up. And I believe it was the first time ever. And a lot of people were excited about that. I want to ask you about Kenny Omega. I think he is going to. I find it hard to believe he's not going to appear in AEW before he does Wrestle Dynasty. I can't see him not doing it. Christmas Day of Dynamite's already been taped. He was not on that show, but there's still World's End coming up a week from this Saturday. I feel like he has to be on that show, and I don't think his first appearance back should be on a non-AEW show. What do you think about that?
That's kind of how I feel too. It's like Kenny Omega is back, but he doesn't feel back if you're not constantly watching New Japan stuff. Like he doesn't feel back to the people that primarily watch AEW. Now, of course, everybody kind of watches a little bit of everything, but there are those people that primarily focus on AEW, so he doesn't feel like back yet. That's the best way that I can put that. I want to see, obviously, when was it? I think last week, last Dynamite, they did air a Kenny Omega vignette, which was great because I was like, yay, they're, doing the vignette. We know he's obviously going to be wrestling Gabe Kidd. So all of that, we're getting a little closer, but I do think it would have been like a bigger moment had everything happened on AEW before it started happening on the J New Japan side of things. I think it would have just hit a little bit harder.
Yeah, I agree. Again, he's the vice president of the company. I just think it's an important time for them starting a
They need
TV.
it more than ever, too, is
Yes, they
what it feels
do.
like. They
They
really
do.
do.
They do. Are you how are you sad to hear that Tanahashi is retiring? He's a very fashionable man and he has the air guitar and all those things. John Cena retiring and now Tanahashi. It's like, I don't know. I don't know what's happening to the wrestling world, Denise. I don't know.
Father time, Josh, it gets us all. It gets us all. And there's nothing we can do about it. Oh, I mean, you could try to live like a healthy lifestyle to make it, as po to extend it as much as possible. But
True.
of course, when you are, a wrestler, your body is taking, you got your wear and tear. Everybody knows that you got your bump card and how much do you got left. And honestly, like seeing people like Tanahashi and John Cena went as long as they did, it's like good for them, man. But yeah, with Tanahashi, I think at some point, like when you were watching his matches, you're just like, oh, maybe it's just better to retire now. We don't want you to get more hurt than you already are. Cause it shows, like you could see the pain in their body. And
Yeah.
you just want them to, like I said, live peaceful lives where they don't have to be in constant pain. And for a lot of these people, it's a little too late already. Like they've gotten accustomed to living in constant pain. And so, yeah, it definitely sucks you getting your feels about it. I mean, earlier this year, we had Sting retire. It definitely was in my feels about it. And so many people were. So it's sad because I think that, like, especially growing up, you're watching these people wrestle, and sometimes you feel like they're going to be around forever. And nothing tells you that you're getting older more than some of your favorite people having to retire. Because once they retire, you're like, oh, they're gotten old. Oh, that means I got old too. And it's just like a double whammy. So, like, I'm sad you got old. I'm sad I'm getting old. And all of it is just so depressing. So yeah, every time retirements happen, it's nice to obviously celebrate that person's career and the fact that we care enough to talk about their retirement. But it's also sad because of life and father time and all of that.
If I had one moment I could give to the hardcore fans for 2025, it would be a moment between, I don't, it probably can't happen to the way the organizations work. Give us one moment, John Cena and Tanahashi in the same ring at the same time, just for a moment, to get that moment where everyone just kind of goes crazy, just seeing these two legends that never in a million years would ever cross over. Just a moment. That'd be kind of a fun thing for the hardcore fans of both these
Yeah,
people. That'd be kind of
for
fun.
sure, for the hardcore audience. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the junk drawers. Is everything not fit in all the sections that we talked about above? Nick Gage clarified his GCW status. He officially became a free agent. There's a whole story behind here you can look up. He confirmed he had to stay in rehab. He's looking to do podcasts, blogs, those type of things. So he's looking at it in the media space, Denise. He's going to be competing with all of us pretty soon.
About to
But
wipe
but
us out.
yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, interesting story there. Toni Storm lost her CML. L debut to La Catalina. Interesting. I threw this in here. Matt Cardona was quote unquote legit shocked that he hadn't received offers from either WWE or AEW. That would change, and we assume at some point he's probably going to sign, but we'll see what happens in 2025. Nikki Garcia and Artem Chin. I wrote out the pronunciation so I could try to do this. Now I'm screwing up. Artem Chinvegsev. Oh my God, I'm going to screw.
Chinvinsev. I
Yes.
don't know how to say it, but I'm just following what you wrote. Chinvinsev.
I
Artem.
watched
We all know Artem.
Artem. I watched a TMZ clip 3 times a day and wrote out pronunciation. And now I'm reading. It's like, oh, it doesn't make any sense. They got dual restraining orders against each other again, dating back to domestic violence situation. Just a really sad situation there, especially the 4-year-old son. Maple Leaf Pro Scott D'Amore's promotion revived in October. Kenosuke Takeshita defeated the AEW International title against Josh Alexander, then defeated Mike Bailey the next night. Athena competed on this show. The IWGP Junior Tag Team titles were defended on the show. A lot of different promotions were involved with this, which I thought was fascinating. Ricochet made a surprise appearance and attacked Takeshita after that Mike Bailey match, leading to eventually their clash for the international title. Josh Barnett versus MVP was confirmed for Bloodsport 12. Ric Flair issued a statement mourning the death of his stepson, Sebastian Kidder. Former WWE wrestler Tucker Knight, forgotten with the Otis and Tucker group back in the day. Now, as he was done with pro wrestling, former Ring of Honor executive, very influential guy, Joe Koff, passed away. A name that just won't go away. Alberto El Patron, set to defend the AAA Mega title against Vikingo. Eric Bischoff, another name won't go away, announced to be coming to MLW for a one-shot event. FTR making their Deadlock Pro debut against the Workhorsemen, one of the more underrated teams when they get to work on the indies. I've seen them live in person. They're so awesome. I was hoping to have this match for the promotion that my friend owns, but alas, it happened at Deadlock Pro instead. Ricky Starks made a surprise appearance at Glory Pro. That was a very interesting year for Ricky Starks. We'll talk more about him coming up soon. Black Label Pro had to cancel some events, also going on hiatus. GCW announced a return to the Hammerstein Ballroom in January. That would get some controversy. We'll talk more about that next month. The Oklahoma Commission deferred intergender, transgender wrestling decision to the legislature. Just, it's so crazy. This became like a thing as the state has to decide on it and all those things. Again, dating back from the whole having Nyla Rose wrestle, and it just became an issue due to some outdated law. Very, very strange. CML star Mystico vacating the World Historic Middleweight title. Willow Nightingale, we learned she suffered a concussion at a CMLL Arena Mexico event, so she'd be out for a little bit of time. The company announced a new date for Toni Storm's debut, due to it being postponed by Hurricane Milton, the one I just talked about. And then Aubrey Edwards, set for her CMLL debut. You hear a lot about the in-ring talent when it comes to actually competitors for making their debuts. You don't hear a lot about referees, but Aubrey Edwards spreading her wings and heading down to Mexico. Thoughts about any of that?
Yeah, I think the big one that I want to point out is Matt Cardona saying he was shocked he hadn't received offers from WWE or AEW. I spoke to him immediately after that headline came out, and he kind of like, spoke a little bit more about it, like in depth. And I really love Matt Cardona's mentality, because his mentality is like, he doesn't just want to give up everything that he sort of has been working on. And you know how it is when you sign these contracts, especially with WWE, you kind of have to give up like everything else that you have, and you can't really, you know, do your thing anymore. I do think that he has made like such a big name for himself. One of the funniest things that he said was, I think he tweeted this, but I brought it up in our interview and I thought it was hilarious, was that Matt Cardona says he looks like a wrestler. And I'm like, you're right, you do look like a wrestler. And I'm like, you kind of are checking all of these boxes. I don't understand why a WWE or an AEW wouldn't want you in their company. And you know, when I saw that he was doing this stuff with Chris Jericho, I thought, oh good, maybe this means, you know, he's going to be with AEW. What does this mean moving forward? Because I do think somebody like Matt Cardona, who's worked so hard and has proven himself that he is a valuable asset, I do think should be seeing the fruits of his labor, of course. In regards to Nikki and Artem, I watched their whole, I forgot what the name of the series was, but it was on the Peacock, where they did their whole wedding, like what I'm talking about, right, Josh? Like they showed the whole wedding.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It was like three episodes or something, right? And I watched the entire thing, and I was so happy for Nikki, because she had she'd gone through a lot with John Cena, and you know, she was proposed in the ring, it didn't work out. He made her sign a 75-page contract, which was weird. And so I just felt like she had been through so much. And, you know, for her to have her, you know, her love story and all of this was very nice. And then to hear that this happened, it was just so disappointing. And like you said, there's a child involved. So I'm wishing Nikki and her baby, her son, Mateo, all of the best of luck. And, you know, she was I'm glad that she walked away from the situation, because that was 100% the right call to make. But it doesn't always feel like the right call, especially when love and relationships are involved. So, wishing Nikki the very best in that. But yeah, the other thing that I wanted to bring up was, you're going to have a lot of fun talking about that GCW stuff once you get to next month, everything with Ricky Starks and everything. But yeah, it's so crazy how just all of this happens in pro wrestling. But GCW returning to the Hammerstein Ballroom, of course, that's going to be happening in a couple of weeks. I'm very happy for them. They are a great promotion. They're doing a lot for independent wrestling. I don't think they get enough credit for what they are doing for indie wrestling.
Yep. Nikki Bella Says I Do. That's the name of the show.
Nikki Bella Says I Do. Okay, yeah, I watched that, and it was so nice. Everything was so nice. I was all into that. So yeah, I felt really bad seeing that news.
Yeah. Well, we've come to the end of October. A lot of things happen as we've discussed, and so before we let you go, where can people watch you, listen to you? I know if they're, you've appeared on so many different wrestling websites and podcasts, kind of building up your name. You're doing a lot more of your own stuff on your own website and brand, Instinct Culture. So tell the people where they can mainly hear you and experience all that is Denise Salcedo.
Well, first and foremost, check out the latest here on F4W. If you're already subscribed to the channel, I post out weekly videos where I kind of just cover. If you're listening to this podcast, it tells me you love news. So that's what I cover in the videos, is news. And we just talk about like what's going on in the week of wrestling, what's new. So if you kind of just want to get all of your news in one quick, you know, video, the latest on the F4W YouTube channel is definitely the place to check that out. On top of that, if you are already on YouTube, head on over to youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. This is the place where I post absolutely everything. podcasts, watch alongs, interviews, original content. Right now I'm doing Wrestle Myths. Josh, I don't know if I told you this, but I'm putting out a video every single day this month, an original video. It's been kicking my butt. It's been so much work. My eyeballs hurt from so much editing, but I'm really excited about it. It's been a challenge. It's called a challenge for a reason.
Yep.
So yeah, Wrestle Myths, youtube.com/Denise Salcedo. And I might continue that for next year, but, and then if not, all the social media is at _Denise Salcedo.
Gotcha. Well, it's been fun watching you from afar and also working with you as well. And I love all the success you're having because you've hustled and you've earned it. And I know you're not, you'll never be satisfied because you're always thinking, I can just tell you're always thinking about what's next, what else can I do? Right. But I hope at some point you get to sit back to, like 5 minutes and just look back and enjoy some of the things you've been able to accomplish thus far. You know, hard work and hustle, and some of those nights when you're up till 3 or 4 in the morning and you're editing video or doing all those things, you're like, why am I doing this? Right. And everyone has those moments, even with things that they love, you know, why parenting, did you see my, why are we doing this? Why did we choose to do this to ourselves?
Yes.
But all of a sudden, there's just something about content creation and finding the right audience. It just makes it all worth it. So I'm glad, so glad for your success. And I'm looking forward to seeing more of it and having you on again. Denise Salcedo, thanks so much.
Thank you so much, Josh. And thank you to everybody.